Genesis chapter 3 will be the focus of our study today as we look at trouble in paradise. And I want you to, first of all, understand, I want to encourage especially our young people to please be attentive today, because the things that that we cover today is very relevant in your life and in adults' life. For that matter, you know, my idea for beginning this study in Genesis, and we're just kind of hitting the high points or doing a general survey. My idea is that sometimes I take things for granted. And the things that I take for granted is I was raised in church, been in church all my life, and been taught all the famous Bible stories that, you know, that many of us have heard since we were born, basically. But every once in a while, I'm reminded that everyone has not been given that blessing. There are some people who do not know about the creation story that we studied a couple weeks ago. There are those who don't know about the creation of woman that we read about last week. And there are those who don't know about the fall of mankind in Genesis chapter 3 that we study today. So, with that in mind, let's stand and let's turn to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Today we're going to read and study about trouble in paradise. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And we'll stop right there and again look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we just praise you for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for these Old Testament history that was given for our example, so that we may read and study and learn, that we may live to your honor and to your glory. Lord, as we consider this study today, I'm reminded that we all battle sin. And today, I pray for those who do not know forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray for those who are overtaken in sin, and that sin is ruling and reigning in their life. Lord, I pray that today you'll set them free. Father, I pray that we can look at your word, learn from your word, and be made and drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Talk about a bad day. Things went from fantastic to terrible very quickly in Genesis chapter 3. I just remind you, you know, Genesis chapter 1, after God created stuff, you remember what He said? It's good. It was good. It was good. And it was good. It was not just, it was fantastic. Genesis chapter 2, God created the woman. You remember Adam's response? Wow, this is great. Wonderful. Everything is good. And all of a sudden, it's not good anymore. And the reason that it's not good anymore is because of this con artist. This con artist that we know as Satan, the tempter, the roaring lion, the adversary, the devil. It's that old con artist, the source of our trouble. You know what con, do you know what con means? Or what that's short for when we say, use the word con artist? It is short for confidence. A con artist works to gain your confidence so he can cheat you out of your possession. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. He worked to gain Adam and Eve's confidence so that he could take what God had given specifically to Adam and Eve. That's why, as Adam and Eve fell to sin, today Satan, according to Jesus in John chapter 12, is the ruler of this world. Because in Genesis chapter 3, we lost dominion. You remember in Genesis chapter 2, God said, you have dominion over the fish, the fowl, the animals, over all creation. Genesis chapter 3, we lost dominion. And it was placed in the hands of this old con artist, Satan. And I want you to begin by understanding today, young people, old people, middle-aged people, everybody in between, I want you to understand Satan is no joke. I think that's one of the greatest deceptions of the world is when somebody come up with the idea, let's put Satan in a red suit, give him a pointed tail and a pitchfork, and make people laugh at him. He's not some fairy tale character, some cartoon creation. He's real. And he's the source of all of the evil, of all of the problems, of all that we face in the world today. And he has a strategy. You know, Satan, he's no dummy. He begins with a let's talk. Has God really said that you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Remember how he put that? Has God indeed said? Put it in our language. Has God really said? You mean really? God said that you can't eat of every tree in the garden? And he presents it in a way as though God is being unreasonable. He presents it in a way as though God is, well, God just does not want you to be happy. He's holding back. And the reality is, he drops the bait in front of them. And he shakes that bait just like a fisherman would a fishing lure. And he says, come get it. Because you know why? He points out the you can't. What do you do when you're told, thou shalt not? Or better yet, what do you want to do when you're told you will not? Kids, let me ask you a question. When your mom and dad says, don't do that, what do you want to do? That? Whatever it is. How many parents tell their kids, wear your seatbelt? Oh, there's something about it. I don't want to wear my seatbelt. Right? How many parents, you know, tell kids, don't go to a party where there's drugs, alcohol, whatever. Don't go to that party. And you just want to go. I want to point out to you, it's a Satan thing, okay? It's a dangling of the bait saying, look here. Your parents do not want you to be happy. They want to keep you from having all this fun out in the world. I mean, look at your friends. They talk about their happiness. They talk about what a fun time they had at the party. And you don't get to go. Mom and daddies are just sticks in the mud. That's what you think, isn't it? But Satan just dangles that bait. And he doesn't just do it to kids. He does it to adults. Oh, he dangled the bait in front of Adam and Eve. And Eve said, oh, we can eat except this one tree. And Satan says, that's the one you want. That's the one you want. I mean, kids, think about it. Think about all the things that mom and dad says you can do. Adults, think about all the things that God says. Go help yourself. Enjoy. What do we want to do? Those things that we're told, don't do this. Now, let me ask you a question, moms and dads. Why would you tell your kids don't do something? Is it not because you love them and you don't want them to get hurt? You don't want them to ruin their life when they're 14 years old or 16 years old. You don't want a bad choice that will haunt them for the rest of their days. If that's the reason you tell your children don't do stuff, would you just say amen? God's the same. When God says don't do, He's not saying I don't want you to be happy. He's saying I don't want you to destroy yourself. I don't want you to hurt yourself. And Satan presented this as though this was the one thing that was going to make their life complete. Eating of this one tree. And I don't know how many other trees there were, but they had plenty to choose from. But this one tree. And we get to the seduction. Satan says, and this is classic, you will not die. It will be okay. You will not surely die, but your eyes will be opened, and you will see things you have never seen before. And you will be like God. I mean, you can make your own decisions. Have you? And again, I was picking on kids this morning, but I've just heard that so many times. I want to make my own decisions. Well, good luck with that. I'm 52 years old and I can make some pretty poor decisions. You know? Oh, but Satan presents it as so attractive. You can live your own life. You deserve to be happy, to set the course of your way. You will know good and evil. Now here's the really interesting part. Remember I told you in the beginning when God created everything, what did He say? It is what? Good. Genesis chapter 2, He's still creating good and still good. And Satan says, you will be like God and you will know good and evil. Okay, now this takes a highly educated person to figure this part out. All right? When all you know is good, why do you want to mess with it? They did not know. Okay, everything was good up until this point. And now Satan makes them a promise, you will know. And understand, knowing, it's not just recognize, it's know, experience, know what it means, know what it looks like, it has an effect on your life, kind of knowing, right? So when he says, you're going to know good and evil, they should have stopped with good. Because that word evil literally translates and is translated in other areas of the Bible as wickedness. You will know wickedness. You will learn to experience, learn to know, learn to recognize wickedness. You will learn to hurt. You will learn to trouble. You will learn to deal with adversity and harm and grievous and sad and disagreeable and unpleasant and bad and mystery and distress. You see how Satan, he wraps it up in this pretty little package and he says, look, this is what you need. Why? Because you're going to know good and evil. Now, isn't that the way Satan works? That's Satan's pitch from the Garden of Eden. You haven't lived until you've experienced the good friends and good beer. Well, that's what the TV says, right? Oh, come on, there's nothing. No, listen. Stay with me, okay? You haven't lived until you've tried that whiskey that's made in Jim Beam's distillery in Tennessee in big old pretty barrels. You haven't lived, teenager, until you went to that party and played the drinking games. But you know what it doesn't show? It doesn't show the teen that's on the side of the road been killed in a car crash from drunk driver. It doesn't show the drunkard who cannot hold a job. Okay? It does not show the drunkard who comes home and beats his children and his wife. It doesn't show the destruction, but Satan still holds it out there. Look what I'll offer you. And you can know. And you can choose. You haven't lived until you've visited the drug scene. And this is one that I never got. And I don't get drugs. I'll just be honest with you. And that's I've never been tempted with drugs. And I have other temptations. But why do you want to go through life like a zombie? And I understand that, Brother Doug, you don't understand. You're right. I don't understand. But here's what I do understand. That drug pushers and the Mexican cartels are pushing that trash, and they're not going to show you the addict that's dying from an overdose or that's dying from AIDS because he's been shooting stuff in his veins. It don't show you the evil. Listen, Satan's been peddling the same story since the Garden of Eden 6,000 years ago. You've not lived until you participate in the sin. You've not lived until you've become promiscuous and sexually active. And it does not show. It doesn't show what it does. Listen, young ladies. Once you become sexually active, you cannot get it back. Okay? Listen, young men. Once you become sexually active, you cannot reverse it. You cannot get it back. Do not, young men, do not listen to the lies of Satan as he waves that in front of you and says, come on, you're not going to be happy until you do. You're not a man until you do. Because they're not going to show you the little baby that's born outside of wedlock. They're not going to show you the trouble and the hardship that you have to endure when kids raise kids. Not going to show you this. And listen, he said, Brother Doug, you're getting kind of harsh. We live in a harsh world. I want you to know the truth. Because the lies of Satan, he is a liar. And I want you to get that part. He's a liar. John chapter 8 verse 44 is exactly what Jesus said when he said he was talking to the Pharisees. And he said, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Here's what Satan is. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. You know what he did? He killed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They began to die a slow death after this. Okay? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Because there is no truth in him. There is no truth in him. He lies. He gives you just enough to draw you in. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Watch TV. Look at the booze commercial. Look at the Victoria's Secret commercials. Watch that stuff. How it's painted as being the end thing, the thing to do. Come on, join the crowd. But they never show you the evil. The wickedness, the harshness, the destruction that it brings. As I preach this, I wonder how many are on the fence today. How many are on the fence? How many husbands are out there that they've got this little... We called them floosies back in my day. I don't know what they call them now. Flirting with them at work every time they turn around. That touch, that brush. Occasionally put that arm around her. You know what's on her mind, and you know it's on the back of your mind. And how many are on that fence today? I want to tell you what Satan has not revealed to you. He have not revealed how it will destroy your kids and the woman you married. Okay? And it will. Listen, don't listen. Because it leads to, Satan's lies lead to corruption. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. It says she saw that it was good for food. As she looked at it, that seems pretty tasty. That looks pretty tasty. And that's the way Satan draws it. Have you ever watched it? I've got a new show I really like. TV show. You ever watch Andrew Zimmerman? It's called Bizarre Foods. He's a way bigger man than I am. I've watched him eat rotten fish heads, you know. And I'm like, I'm sitting at home once, I said, "Don't eat it, don't eat it." And he puts it in his mouth. I'm like, "Ah." And he has mentioned two or three, you know, I've seen a documentary on him, whatever. And he had shared that several times he had wound up in the hospital because he'd been eating stuff like that and eating with the natives. And his phrase is, "If it looks good, eat it." No! No! Some things were not meant to be eaten. Some things were not meant to be in the life of man. And that was sin. And that's sin. Oh, it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. Isn't that how sin works? Attractive to look at. I mean, have you ever, guys, and I'll preach this from the guy's perspective. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to take your eyes off a miniskirt? No, Brother Doug, I don't have that problem. You're a liar. You know, the shorter the dress, the harder it is to turn the other way. Ladies, and I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to tell you, there are some things a guy does not need to see. Okay? Oh, Brother Doug, I want to look pretty. Well, you can look pretty without showing. All right? No. All you are is you're advertising. No, Brother Doug, I'm not. Yes, you are. And why do you advertise if you're not open for business? No. Something guys don't need to see. I know it works both ways, guys and gals. She saw it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. And it was desirable to make one wise. I'll experience things as I've never experienced before. Oh, listen. Young people, when you say, "I want to experience it for myself," you're biting off more than you can chew. She saw, she ate. Oh, it come right down to decision time, as it always does. As it always does. Do I give in to this sin? Do I not give in to this sin? And I want to tell you, it's you that decides. Okay? It's you that decides. You can make up whatever excuse you want to, and how attractive it is, and everybody else is doing it, but you're the one. You're the one that makes the choice. She saw, she ate, and she shared. This is where the woman got us men in trouble, right? No. She gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. You don't know, we men have always thought, well, this is a thing between Satan and Eve. No, look at the way this reads. She gave it to her husband. What's that word? With her. He was there during the whole thing. He was there. He watched it all go down. He didn't talk. Maybe he didn't say anything to Satan, but he's there when Satan says, look, God is holding out on you. And Adam's silent. And so, of course, what does Eve do when she takes of this fruit and misery loves company? Come on, big boy, join me. Adam did. Here's what I want you to get at this point, okay? Families, husbands, wives, Satan knows if he gets one of you, he'll likely get you both. Okay? He will. Dads, if you fall, the whole family will go down. Moms, if you fall, the whole family will fall. Kids, if you fall, you'll rip the heart from your mom and dad. And the whole family will suffer. And you know, and I've counseled with children before, and they backed up. Well, it's my life. I should be able to do what I want to do. I'm the one it'll affect. No, you're not. Those people that love you, your mom, your dad, who want the very best for you, and better yet, even beyond your mom and dad, you have a God who loved you so much that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, for you. And you don't think your sin affects anybody else? Yes, it does. It has a far-reaching effect. She saw, she ate, and she shared. And you know what happened? Immediately, things changed. I mean, imagine, if you will, in the garden, as everything's good, they don't know what sorrow is. They don't know what sickness is. They don't know what cancer is. They don't know what dying is. They've never experienced worry and concern for kids. They don't know any of that stuff. They're just... And now, just as soon as they partake of the forbidden fruit, it changes and it'll never be the same again. And immediately, they're at odds with God. They were ashamed. I can just imagine. Daily before Genesis chapter 3, as one day from one day to the next, the joy that must have filled them each day as God would come walking in the garden. Eve, it's God. Let's go talk to Him. And they stand before God, and there's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no... It's God. I'm glad to see you today. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be in your presence. And they took this fruit, and immediately they're ashamed. See, that's what sin does. It fills you with guilt and shame. They knew they were naked. They made coverings out of fig leaves. And here, you need to get this. And the first thing that we do is try to cover up our sin, isn't it? Try to cover up and keep anybody else from knowing. But I got a news flash for you. We've all been touched by sin. All of us. From the pulpit to the pew, we've all had a sin problem. Oh, the shame that sin brings. Not only were they ashamed, they were afraid. They had never experienced fear. And now they're hiding from the presence of the Lord. They're hiding from God. Again, isn't that how sin works? Oh Lord, I've sinned. That's why people quit coming to church a lot of times. Have you noticed? Because when they come to church, they feel guilty. And they don't want to feel guilty. Let me tell you something. If you're feeling guilty, there is an antidote for your sin. But you'll not find it out there. All right? You'll find it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll get to that in just a moment. They were ashamed. They were afraid. And most of all, they were accountable. Here's where I want you to get. I want everybody's attention at this point. I want you to consider this. You see, Adam and Eve at this point had never had to be accountable. God asked Adam, "What have you done?" You know what Adam said? "It's not my fault, God. It's not my fault. The woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. So God, it's not really my fault. It's kind of your fault. The woman's fault." God turns to the woman and says, "Eve, what have you done?" And Eve said, "God, it's not my fault. That serpent deceived me." And that lie still rings in society today. "Yes, I'm a drunkard, but it's not my fault. My daddy was a drunkard." You have made the choice to drink. "Yes, I'm a drug addict, but it's not my fault. I got involved with the wrong crowd." "Yes, but you were the one that took your first drag on that marijuana cigarette. You made that choice. And you can try all you want to point fingers everywhere else, but the bottom line is you're accountable." Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Listen, we're going to get into the forgiveness for just in a moment. But I want you to get this part. Whatever you sow, you're going to have a harvest. And you can pray for crop failure all you want to. But beloved, if you plant weeds, weeds are coming up. You plant thorns, thorns are coming up. And if you make sin the centerpiece of your life, you can expect a harvest of misery, shame, guilt, and trouble. I've preached this message today just to remind. It's out there. We as children of God have got to be willing to stand up and say, "No, Satan. Your lie worked in the Garden of Eden. It will not work with me." We as children of God must have standards. All right? And I'm not saying that you're not, you know, we all battle sin. But we as children of God, we know right and wrong. We know what's sin and what is not sin. And you know what? We can take a stand. You know why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand. Now, the good news is this. Yes, we all have a sin problem. That's not the good news. I don't preach this message as though I'm perfect. I'm far from it. I battle things just like everybody else battles. But the good news is, there is an antidote for the sin. That antidote for the sin problem that has plagued mankind is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, I want you to understand. You say, Brother Doug, you're right. I've done so wrong so long. The good news is, there's no sin so great that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse you from white as snow. Okay? Oh, Brother Doug, I've been too bad. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Maybe today's the day it's time to turn over a new leaf. Today's the day where you realize that, okay, I'm paying for the sowing of my wild oats. It's time for a change. It's time to repent. Turn, go the other direction. That's what repentance means, right? You know, when you're going down the wrong road, you don't keep going down that road, do you? No. Not unless you're filled with pride and your wife's sitting next to you and you're refusing to listen to her, right? But you turn. You say, no, this is the wrong road. You turn and you go the other way. Listen, if your life is controlled by sin and you're reaping the wages of sin, it's time to go to a new direction. And that new direction is Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect, sinless life, came to this earth and died upon the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin. Why did He have to pay for my sin, Brother Doug? Because somebody had to. Somebody had to. And trust me, you don't want to. For the wages of sin is death, according to the Word of God. The good news is, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, He offers you the free gift, the forgiveness of sin. I love the fact that our sins are cast as far as east is from the west when we call upon Jesus Christ. Now I know, some of the things I've said have been pretty straightforward and all that today. But I want you to understand this. You need to take care of your sin problem today. And Jesus is the only way to take care of that sin problem. Okay? If you need to be saved, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask you to come forward and let me lead you in Scripture on how to do that. It's very simple. Basically, if you'll call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Okay? But I would count it a joy to help you with that. Maybe you're here and you realize you've been saved and you realize you don't need my help. You just need to talk to the Lord about a few things. This altar's open. But don't keep going down the wrong road when you know the road you're on is the wrong way. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the Scripture that instructs us. And now I pray, Lord, that Your will be done in this invitation. You know what's going on in each of our lives. And Father, only You can forgive sin. Only You can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we look to You today. Guide our paths. Direct our steps. So that we may live a life that will glorify You. That will not give in to the wiles of the devil. But rather, we'll live a life to glorify You. In Jesus' name I pray.